Good evening. This is Dr. Don Cowan, and I'm coming to you live. Live from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. And it's cherry time. It's very earliest cherries. A few of them have been picked around here, and the main part of the crop won't be picked for another week or so, and then it'll just continue on for about a month. There's various varieties of cherries, and I'll be coming off probably for almost another 6 weeks in various areas of the state, but I'm here to bring good news to you, and the good news is from Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, our Creator. And I'd like to start out tonight. I want to tell you about a couple books and that I wanted to offer if anybody would like them. And one of them is called The Power of Positive Desire, and which is a excellent book. And there's so many good books out there that are made strictly from a worldly standpoint, or even tying in the worldly standpoint to saying, okay, there's a heavenly creator. But this is something that you can get your heart and soul into, because it is coming from scripture and just in such a positive way that it can really change your life. There's another one also, The Power of Positive Desire, and the other one is The Good Life. And The Good Life is almost like a mini Bible course. If you want to study the Bible in a very positive way, I know there's lots of ways to study it, and most of them aren't that positive, or they're just run of the mill. But I want to offer you both of these, and as far as either one of them, with shipping and handling would be $15, or if you want them both, we'd be glad to send them out to include shipping and handling $25, save $5 that way. But both of them are excellent. One's excellent on both of them are around 300 pages, and very easy. Quick reading, much easier, quicker reading than most books of that size, but so positive, so dramatically can change one's life. So I didn't want to let you go without letting you know that I've got something that would be excellent, very excellent in your life, and either one would be, and so one is the power of positive desire, and it is really excellent, and also the other is the good life. The good life, as I said, once again, is more as far as studying what the Bible has to say, and it's from a very positive perspective, and then the other one, as I said, the power of positive desire, add so much more than lots of the self-help books out there because this has a much greater power, because it's not just using man's words, it's coming across and realizing what's God's real desire for you, and realizing a lot of the hang-ups that we've picked up from the traditional church or worldly direction, or from the church's direction. And this is certainly a God thing. And so once again, either one of them including postage, would be $15, or together $25. And I don't know if you'll take the opportunity, but if you don't take the opportunity, you'll be missing out. And so I just have come across these and realized over the last year, how great these are, and I just want to open up the opportunity for anybody that would like them. My address is Dr. Don Cowan. That's Don is just D-O-N, and Cowan is like a cow in a barn, C-O-W-I-N, cow in, and just address the letter to either Dr. Don Cowan, or you could address it to Global Redeeming Ministries, and the P.O. box here on the Indian Reservation, Yakima Indian Reservation, is P.O. box 90, and it is Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, Washington, and it's 98939. Once again, that is P.O. box 90. And it's Parker, Washington, 98939. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're here today in the New Testament, which is the last fourth of the Bible. And we are in what is called the fourth gospel, which is the Gospel of John. And it is different than the first three in the just its style of writing and who's writing it. He often refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. Well, we know that Jesus loved everybody there, but at the Last Supper, he was the one that was right next to him. And so he also happened to be there when Jesus was crucified. And Jesus entrusted his own mother to him for the rest of her life. John was, of all the other apostles, of course, they were all martyred. They tried to kill him, and God sustained him after being boiled in oil. And they weren't able to kill him that way. And so they put him out on the Isle of Patmos. He had already written four books in the New Testament, the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which are just short little red letters. One of them, a couple of them are just about a page or so, and one of them is a few pages. And then, but when he was put out on the Isle of Patmos, my goodness, Jesus came to him by an angel and revealed to him the revelation of Jesus Christ concerning churches at that time, but also how they relate to churches of all times and also to the end of times. And we're really getting in there, right in the end of time. So it's not the end of this world by any means, but it's the culmination, getting closer to the culmination of this age that we've been in for the last couple thousand years. So today we're in John, and it's chapter 11. And I hope you're all can, if you've got a Bible, that you can follow along with me. John chapter 11, if you look in the index, it should be there in the, you'll have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it'll be the fourth book in the New Testament. And so let's get into it. It says, this is about Lazarus, that he was the death of Lazarus. And so there's a couple Lazarus mentioned in the New Testament, and one is in relationship to Jesus talking about a certain rich man and a poor beggar man that happened to die at his gates, and then he was telling the story not as a parable but as an actual thing that it took place, and that was that there was a rich man, and that that literally they could see each other. One was being tormented after death, and one was in the comfort and what was called the bosom of Abraham, a place of blessing and comfort, and yet there wasn't a way to go across to either side, but yet they could see each other afar off and even speak. Yeah, but this is a different Lazarus. This is Lazarus that lived very in Bethany, which was very close to Jerusalem, within about a couple miles. So it's just, I think, as far as I know, I think it was about the closest city outside of Bethlehem. I mean, out of Jerusalem. Bethlehem happened to be a little bit further away. It was about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. And so this is the town of Bethany. So it's just a very close away area away from the Jerusalem. It says now in verse chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So actually these were brothers and sisters. And we have seen Mary and Martha in some other places in the New Testament. And this was their brother. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So we see here, there's an interesting side note we want to sort of pick up here, is that this is for the glory of God, as far as he's talking about his Heavenly Father. But at the same time, that this is the glory of God comes by the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of the Son. And so it says right here again, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. We see from the Bible, any time that Jesus is glorified, any time the Son of God is glorified, that in turn gives glory to God the Heavenly Father. So, we wanted to digress or just go off to the side here and see another interesting thing that it doesn't say so right here, but that the glory of Jesus Christ, that's why the Holy Spirit was sent into the world and sent into all those who believed on Jesus. That was for the glory of Jesus Christ, because it says the Holy Spirit came to comfort us, to strengthen us, to embolden us, to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. That's, you see, that's not our duty. We can't make ourselves like God. We need to have the will, the desire to become like God, as far as willing to become like Jesus. But it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility, who Jesus sent to those, all of us who believe, to you, if you've made that commitment now, and that he's been sent to you, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes into you at that time. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can come to Jesus. With only by the Holy Spirit we can come to the Father. You see, it says that we can only come to the Father through Jesus Christ, and we can only come to Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to a place of relationship. And then the Holy Spirit, according to the Lord Jesus, then comes in us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So here we see that this sickness, he said, was not unto death, but for the glory of God. So it's for the glory of his Father, that the Son may be glorified through it. So the Son is being glorified, the Son of God, when he's glorified, that it also glorifies his Father. And so really, you see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of you and me is the same thing, in that the Holy Spirit is supposed to glorify Jesus. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. So we have the same purpose as the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to glorify Him, which glorifies the Heavenly Father. So that is one of the many purposes that God has created us for, to bring glory to Him. And you see, you will be fulfilled and satisfied and filled with joy, as Jesus says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's why He came. He loves you. And that's what His desire is for you, is that you may receive His joy, be filled with it to an abundance, and that you might be even full of glory. What's this about? This is about being glorified. Well, God wants us to participate in that glory. He wants us to be that glory, and we will participate in that glory as we draw close to God, as we draw close to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes in us. Then the Holy Spirit starts bringing and starts glorifying God and Jesus through us. It's a marvelous, wonderful thing that Jesus wants to do in you. He wants you to be overfilled with joy and in abundance, and His life in you to change us from glory to glory into the image of Himself. Yes, He has called us in the Bible that we are gods. We are not God, no, but we are gods because we are created in His image. Now, that's how Adam was created. Now, we are created in the image of Adam, fallen Adam. But, you see, Jesus came that we could go back and be who we're supposed to be, created in God's image instead of now just in Adam's image. And when I speak of Adam, at that time, Adam and Eve were both considered Adam. And it was only after the fall of Adam and Eve that Eve was given really a separate name. They were one before that. So we've seen this, that the glory is God's purpose for you. Glory is God's purpose for me. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus, it's interesting to know that you know, we only have one word for love in English, but in Greek there's four main words for love, and we never see the word eros, which is more of a lust or a type of love in the New Testament. But the other three types of words for love are in the New Testament. One is as stoge, or which is a sort of family type love, like you love your mom or dad or your brother or sister or something, or a close friendship love in the family like that. There's also phileo, which is loving of a friend. So you have a close friend, either male friend, female friend, but it's not usually, when I say that, it's usually the same sex, and it's not in a sexual way at all, but it's a matter of that there is a kindred spirit between you, because you care for each other, and yet it's not in a sexual manner. And then there is agape. Agape is sort of different. It really is much different than the others, and that's really God's love for us, is agape love. And that is it's unrefrained from or put off by what we do. He loves us unconditionally. So it's not determined, okay, you did something wrong, you really ticked me off. No, that's not our God. There's not this matter of getting ticked off at you. it's not a it's some of us might have some earthly fathers that weren't like the Heavenly Father, and so we have a perverted view of what a Heavenly Father is. But our Heavenly Father is a good Father, and He loves us, and that's why He and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, got together before the world was created. He saw what was going to happen. It says in the Bible that He knew the end from the beginning, and so He made a way. He made provision, even though that He knew that people would fall away and do terrible, horrendous things, that yet He made a way that we might be redeemed, that we might be saved, that we might become new creations in Christ Jesus. We wouldn't have to stay in a corrupted form, but we could be resurrected again, that we could turn our hearts toward Him in faith and trust and love, and that He would be with us all the days of our lives here on earth, and then restore us to Himself, that we might be forever with the Lord. And whether it be back here on earth or in heaven or perhaps a new earth or someplace else, many people, there is a discussion on as far as there's going to be a new earth. Well, many great biblical scholars believe that this physical place here is going to be the new earth. Yet we see other places in Scripture that this earth is going to be destroyed, consumed with fire, but there may very well be a new earth established out of this one, or as opposed to what they believe, there may be an entirely new earth that maybe He's already created for us. And we know that there is a heaven, and I don't know for sure if we get to just freely go back and forth from heaven to the new earth, whether it's this one or another one, but I know that God loves us greatly, and He has great reward for those that will turn our hearts towards Him. That it says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so that's what we need to do, is to diligently seek God Almighty. And that's what we're doing right here in Scripture. We, especially the book of John, it's so good. And I encourage you to just study it over and over again. Just read through all the New Testament. It's beneficial. It says it's profitable for every area of your life. For every area of your life, it is beneficial to you, to me, to study the Word of God. And I would certainly recommend that you study primarily the New Testament, but after you study that, then go back in the Old Testament too. But you see, the New Testament is much the fulfillment of lots of the old dealings that we see in the Old Testament, the fulfillment of Scripture in Jesus Christ. I've got a New Testament someplace that actually deals somewhat with this, that it sort of picks up every verse, various places throughout the New Testament, a whole lot of verses, that what they are, all it is the New Testament, but then it lists the Scriptures that is the fulfillment of prophecies from the Old Testament. And so that is great for somebody wanting to study the Old Testament, or especially great for people from a Jewish background, because for them, they main mind is, of course, with the Torah or with the prophets or other portions of the Old Testament, which would be called the history or wisdom sections. And it just shows that how Jesus so fulfilled so many prophecies of the Old Testament in the, by what happened in the New Testament. So we were here dealing with the glory of God, and that you and I were created for and to be the glory of God. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Isn't that strange? I mean, normally we'd say that, well, if somebody's sick, we better go there and help them and heal them and raise them up. But no, he already, remember from previous lessons, many lessons, we see that he only did and spoke and did what he saw his father doing. So we saw here that this was, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. So even though actually Lazarus did die in the natural man, that it wasn't, he knew it was not unto death. In other words, it wasn't a permanent thing, that God was going to do something that was going to bring glory to the Father. Now, when it was going to bring glory to the Father, what happened? Well, it brought glory to Jesus, but everything that brings glory to Jesus brings glory to the Father. So we need to get that in perspective for our lives, too. That our lives, that everything that brings glory to Jesus out of our lives will bring glory to the Heavenly Father as well. So let's try to go on through this wonderful book. And it says, so when he heard he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Of course, stoning was back then was one of the main way of killing people. You just get up a whole bunch of stones and throw them at people until they die. And if you've been ever to the Holy Land, that's one thing they have plenty of. Is they've got stones every place. And it's amazing, totally amazing how they have cleared stones off of areas and put them into fruitful fields. But it's certainly a stony land, and you can really understand that was the way to kill people. And so the disciples are saying to him, wait, Rabbi. Lately the Jews have sought to stone you. And are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Of course, he was, we see here, well, we'll just go on and then talk a little bit more. It says, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So we see here that he's finally saying that flat out, Lazarus is dead. But he was also saying just before that he's sleeping. It's just like the earlier statement, this sickness is not unto death. In other words, this is a temporary thing, because this is not the purpose of God, and God is going to be glorified in this, and the purpose of God is going to be established here, which means Lazarus is just temporarily sleeping, even though he's been dead. We'll find out he wasn't only dead for just a few hours that he was dead for 4 days, and he stinks. So as far as decay had already taken hold, but the power of God is resurrection power. The resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead will also raise us from the dead for all those who believe in Jesus Christ and put our trust in him, that we have, just as he says, we ask for forgiveness, and we also forgive those who have sinned against us. So you can't hold on to, in your asking for forgiveness, you can't hold on to the sins of others and say, well, I want forgiveness for myself, but I'm not going to forgive others. We see that various times when Jesus dealt with people. We see it with the man that was had like a $10 billion debt, and said, "Oh," and was thrown into prison, his wife and children were too, and he pleaded with the master and said, "Please, just, I will repay you all." Well, there's no way that he could repay $10 billion, you know? It was totally out of the question. But it was impossible for him. But yet his master had mercy on him and released him, released his family. And yet he immediately went out and grabbed somebody else for a few days' wage that he owed him and commanded him to pay him. It was totally unjust. I mean, it was just that he get paid, but yet he had been forgiven a debt that was insurmountable, and he was after somebody else for a small debt. And it says, the other people came to the master and said, that, do you realize what's happening? That he's thrown this other person into debtor's prison and refuses to let him go until he pays him. Well, how can you pay anybody if you're in prison? And so the master turned around and said, I have forgiven you such a great debt, and you did not have mercy on this other person. And therefore, you are going to be put away in prison forever until you pay. Well, there's no way that he could ever pay. And so it is when he tells us in the Lord's Prayer. He says, part of the prayer is, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You see, it's not forgive us our sins and God will do it. It says, as we forgive others, so he will forgive us. We ask him for forgiveness, and he says, yes, as you forgive others. And so that's what we see here, is that God loves you and wants to give you tremendous blessings. But we need to realize that we have an attitude of gratitude. We need an attitude of gratitude. It might be a catchy little phrase there, but that's something we need to stir up in ourselves, to have an attitude of gratitude. So we are thankful for what God has done for us. We are thankful for his forgiveness. And because of that, we turn around and forgive others, and we release others. And you may not realize it, but when you release others, you are releasing yourself, because you have been bound by holding things against others, and it has been eating you up. It has been hurting your physical body, your mental, giving you mental torment, and more so than the person that you were trying to hold in bondage. This actually sets you free and sets also your physical, not only mentally and spiritually, but then sets you physically free, because it starts to release those toxins that have been built up in your body because of unforgiveness. Okay, let's go on. We were seeing here in the scripture in chapter, we are in John, the Gospel of John, in the New Testament, John chapter 11, and verse 15 it, we were there, and it says, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." So where are they going? They're going up to Bethany where Lazarus had died. And now we see here in verse 17. "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days." This guy was dead 4 times over. 4 days in the tomb. He stank. "Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you.'" Well, there must have been a relationship there. She knew about Jesus. Truly, when it said that he loved them, loved her and her sister and the dead brother, that they must have been around him to know that he was of God, that I'm sure they probably knew that he was the Son of God, because it said, "I know that whatever you ask God, God will give it to you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So there's already belief at this time. That the Jewish people at that time happened to be the people that it was real obvious that God had visited. They were persecuted. They've always been persecuted to us after they became a nation because of the blessings of God on them. And it's you know, somebody gets real blessed. Some of us get jealous. I think that's natural for us. It's not godly at all. But is that jealousy when often the blessings of God overtake somebody? We need to be of rejoicing, because if we're rejoicing, we open the floodgates towards us also, that we might receive the same blessing. If we are of a critical mind and want to find fault, we just blocked off the floodgates of the blessings coming to us. And so we will remain in our desperate state. So we don't want to do that. We want to rejoice with those who rejoice. And this is a place where it says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." At this time, there was two groups in the Jewish people. There were a group of people that were very religious, but yet did not believe in angels. They did not believe in the life after death. They believed in God, but they didn't believe that they would come into judgment separate from this life. Then there was the Sadducees, and you can just tell by their name how sad, you see, they were, because they had no hope of the resurrection. But the Pharisees, on the other side, happened to believe in angels, and they believed also in the resurrection, and that there would be a last day, that there would be a judgment, and that those who were righteous would enter into the presence of God, and those who were unrighteous would come into judgment. And so she was confessing this. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So there's this belief back then is the same as there is now, that there is going to be a resurrection. Jesus said there is going to be a resurrection of both the dead, as far as the ungodly and the godly. There's going to be a resurrection. There is going to be a judgment. Now, at the beginning of time, or when, as far as, you see, there's before time. But when we talk about the beginning of time, when there was this creation of this world and everything in it by Jesus, by the Father, by Jesus Christ, there was, they already knew, as it says in the Word of God, that they knew the end from the beginning. Now, from a scripture, we see also an interesting, very interesting point, is that God is in charge, and he is kept in charge of all the heavens, but he gave control of the earth to man. And so we see, we so often say, well, how could God let that happen here on earth? How could God let that happen to my brother or sister or my mother or my son? Well, simple reason is that God, even though he's in charge of the universe, he gave this land, this earth, over to man. And we've made a terrible mess out of things. And so we have to be careful to go strictly by what it says in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, it was clear that he does have control of the universe, but not this earth. He gave this over to mankind. Also says he. Another thing is he does nothing on this earth except he tells his prophets first. So he does intervene on this earth occasionally, but he intervenes and he lets his prophets know ahead of time what's going to happen. So here we see that we're talking about this as far as I know that whatever you ask God, that God will give it to you, and that it says here again that your brother, Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. What is it? That's term again, I am. We were talked to briefly about this last week, about this would really tick the Jews off, because I am is the name of God. When you go back to Moses, and Moses was going into Pharaoh, who should I say that sent me? If I'm going to go in and stand before Pharaoh, who's in the greatest leader in the world at the time, who should I say that sent me? I am sent you. Okay, so that's the name of God. I am. Who is he? I am. Well, he's I am Rapha. I am the healer. I am your provider. I am your banner over you. I am the one who sanctifies. He's all these different things. So he's the great I am. And here he's saying about himself, I am, and he's using this term, I am, the resurrection and the life. So what's this? You need your life resurrected? You need life? Okay, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's who you need. You need Jesus, the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, he says, though he may die, he shall live. Even though you die physically, you shall live if you believe in him, because he is and always will be the resurrection and the life. And if you need resurrection in your life, both in this life and in the next life, you need Jesus. In fact, there are two great, fantastic type of people listening to this broadcast right now. Did you know that? There's just two types of people listening to this broadcast on this earth. Those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. My question to you is, which one are you? Are you one that's already saved, or are you one that's about to be saved? I do have this to say to you. Don't die, don't leave this earth without being one that's about to be saved. Because it's too late then. You need to be saved here, now, right now, tonight. So if you can't say honestly from your heart and from your mind and spirit and soul that you're saved, then I tell you right now, in Jesus' name, repeat this after me. That's right, say it out loud so your ears can hear it. Repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Where's Jesus right now? If you said that, you just said, Jesus, come into my heart. If you meant that, if you said it, it says that we are saved by two things. It takes two things to get us saved. It's by believing in our heart and confession with our mouth. And if you said that, if you said, Jesus, come into my heart, you said, Father, forgive my sins. And then, you see, there's four things I said there. The first one was, Father, forgive my sins. That's our Heavenly Father. We want our sins washed away. We say, Jesus, come into our heart. And then we said the third thing, we said, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Well, how is that done? Jesus sends you. If you prayed that right now, then you not only receive Jesus Christ, but you also receive the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that makes you the kind of person that you need to be. And He's the one that comes in. You have to have the will to change, but He is the one that has the power to actually change you. You can't change yourself. But He gives you, comes inside of you, and He has the power. And it says He comes in and changes you from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing we said was, thank you for saving me. We have to need to have a grateful heart, a thankful heart, one that says, yes, God, I desire you. I desire everything you have for me. I've messed up my life enough by myself, but I want you to come into my life. And my will is for you to come in. And I've asked you tonight, I've asked for forgiveness for my sins. I've asked for Jesus, for you to come into my heart. And I've asked you to make me the kind of person you want me to be. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for saving me. So Jesus here in chapter 11, verse 25 of the Gospel of John. Gospel is good news, but it's more than good news. The word gospel, everybody says it's just good news. But the actual translation of gospel is a much more compelling thing than saying good news. It's a more of an action verb almost. It's not quite a verb in some situations it is, but it's an action sort of thing. Like it's like it's tied to the word evangelism, and it's such good news that you have to tell somebody else about it. Well, that's what I'm doing right now. It's good news. It's the Gospel of John. It's the good news of John the Apostle that is such good news that I've got to tell somebody else about it. That's what I'm doing right now. That the Gospel of God has come to me. The Gospel of God has come to you. It's such good news that it's not only to save you and to set you free, to give you a new make you a new creation in God, to tear down the barriers between you and your Creator, but that also that is such good news that you've got to mention it to tell somebody else about it. Yes, yes. There's a change. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. When he says is to come, that's saying that, okay, all these prophecies are fulfilled in you. All these prophecies of the Messiah coming, of the Christ coming, of the Savior coming, that it is fulfilled in you. And she is declaring that. She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, we go on down to the next verse. The next verse is verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary, rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him? And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind and have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. Remember, we read that he had been dead 4 days. Well, this is Middle East country. This isn't way up in Scandinavia or someplace where the body would freeze. This is where it deteriorates fast. And he had been dead 4 whole days. And Martha said, There is a stench. And he goes ahead and says, For he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Oh boy, we want to see the glory of God. God wants to see the glory of God, of himself, in us. And he has planned and made a way to see the glory of God in us. That's what, when Jesus comes into you, and you ask him to become your Lord and Savior, you not only get him, but you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into you. Now, the Bible does talk about the Holy Spirit in a little bit different ways. We see that the Holy Spirit did go with the prophets of old, and miracles were done that way. Spirit went with the disciples, and with it wasn't just the 12 disciples before, but this is before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, went out and healed sick, raised dead and things. But also there were 70 others that were sent out two by two, and miracles happened through them. The Holy Spirit went with them. But then after Jesus died and rose again in the upper room, he came to his disciples and he breathed into them, and they says he then breathed into them the Holy Spirit, that they received the Holy Spirit at that time. But yet again, he says, go at a later time. This is still in the time he was resurrected, but in that 40 days, there's 50 days after his resurrection that there was the day of Pentecost. Well, he was on earth for 40 days. He had gone to his heavenly Father, came back, and kept being seen. And it says at one time he was seen by over 500 people. There are recordings in history by even non-Christians, by the secular Jews, that two of the Pharisees had already died previously, and they came back to life, and along with a whole lot of other people came back to life. And this is in history that was not Christian. This is open Bible stuff, I mean outside the Bible stuff, that these other two came back to life that were Pharisees, and yet there had been other Pharisees that had died during the Jesus' ministry, but only those two came back to life. Well, those two declared that they had believed on Jesus. Well, what happened? It was only believers on Jesus that came back to life. It was those who, the righteous dead that had died beforehand. Also those during his ministry here on earth that had died and they were righteous and believing in Jesus, they came back to life. And they declared to the Sanhedrin what had happened, that that's why they were resurrected. It says that when Jesus, after Jesus was resurrected, that it said many of the saints were seen walking and talking around Jerusalem. And it was for a period, apparently, of several days. We know that Jesus was around for 40 days, that he would show up in Galilee and different places around Jerusalem or outside of Jerusalem. And we don't have a count of all the records, but he certainly showed up several times and was confirmed by many believers and even in the testimony of non-believers about these other people that were raised from the dead and walking about that had died a year or two earlier, and some several years earlier. So this is an amazing thing, and it's confirmation of in history, and this wasn't even Christian stuff, so it wasn't something that was altered. It was actually by the enemies that recorded this. So if your enemies are recording it, it must be pretty good. It must be pretty good. So it says, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Well, we want to see the glory of God. In fact, especially, we want the glory of God in us, in you, in me, so that we see the glory of God. And if it's the glory of God, it's going to glorify Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is glorified, that's going to glorify the Father, because that's what the Bible declares, that anything that glorifies Jesus Christ is going to glorify God. And so continue on there, that we're going to see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. You hear that prayer? Let's hear it. Hear that. It says, Father, I thank you. So there's this thankful spirit that you have heard me. That's the son talking to his daddy. I know that you always hear me. Okay, so it's not only you hear me, period, but that also you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this. So he didn't even have to say it, but he's saying this for our benefit, your benefit and my benefit, that they may believe that you sent me. You see, it's believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and our trust in him and belief on him that saves us and puts us in relationship with Him. And when we come in relationship with Him, we are automatically in relationship with God Almighty of the entire universe, who was before the universe and after, whether this universe passes away or not. We're going to be in a relationship with Him, a favorable, good relationship with Him forever. If, and only if, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you didn't take your chance earlier at saying this prayer and asking God to be in your life, then let's do it right now. Repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Amen. I trust that you listened to that and heard that. It says here that I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these sayings, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believed on him. They believed in him. They, why? This is because it says many of these Jews who had come had seen these things that Jesus did, and they believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. What are they telling him? Well, they're telling them, and he's doing all these miracles. He's raising the dead. Well, in the next chapter, I don't know that we're going to even get to it tonight. They even want to kill the person that got raised from the dead because they don't want the evidence that this guy that was dead 4 days, walking around and living and telling people that he was raised from the dead, that everybody knew. Because everybody knew he had died. He was a well-known person, and he had died and been dead for 4 days. And now they're later on, after this chapter, they plot to kill him because the evidence, they want to destroy the evidence that Jesus raised him from the dead. Well, how can you destroy the evidence without destroying the person? So they decide to destroy not only Jesus, but they decide to kill Lazarus as well, just to destroy the evidence that Jesus raised the other guy from the dead. Crazy. That's what you see, sin will do that. Sin will cause us to do unrational things just because we don't want to submit to God Almighty, to submit to Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we come up with some excuse or some way to destroy the truth, trying to destroy it, to wash it away. Well, this dead man that comes back to life, you have to wash him away. Well, the only way to wash him away was to kill him again. Well, they didn't do it, but they were planning and plotting it. It says then that then the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. That whenever it says many signs, it's talking about many miracles. That's what it means. Many miracles. You have to remember that from the other Gospels, we know that he went into many towns, and there'd be hundreds and thousands even people, different places, that would be sick or paralyzed or blind or deaf or mute or possessed by devils. And it said that he would heal them all. Not a single one would escape his healing. That's powerful. This is God on earth. And for us not to accept him is sheer lunacy. That if we don't accept the God Almighty of all the universe, how can we expect to be saved. We'll be separated from God forever. We'd have to spend eternity with Satan. You see, God did not create hell, the lake of fire, for us. But that's the only place for us if we don't desire to be with His loving kindness and His goodness and His blessedness and everything good. There's only one place left. We're left. We have to go with the father of all lies. Who's the father of all lies? It's Satan. It's Lucifer. Don't go that way. God loves you. His purpose is for every single one to be saved. Now, does that mean everybody will be saved? No. Most people aren't being saved. They're going a different way. Don't do that. God loves you. God has provided a way. You have heard the word of God tonight. Respond to it. Say, yes, Jesus. Say, yes, Father, forgive my sins. Yes, Jesus, come into my heart. Yes, Holy Spirit, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Yes, I say thank you to you for saving me. That is God's word for you. And that's what your word to God should be. Because respond to His love. Respond to His love. Word of God continues. It says, if we let Him alone like this, everyone will believe in Him. This is what the chief of the Pharisees, this is what the chief priests are saying. For this man works many miracles. If we let Him alone like this, everyone will believe in Him. So what are they trying to do? They acknowledge the fact that He does all these miracles. Nobody's ever done all these miracles before. That He's going into towns healing everybody there is. He's raising people from the dead that have been dead and stinking for 4 days. And it says, if we let Him alone, everyone will believe in Him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So here's a bunch of these people that are all of a sudden thinking of themselves and selfishness and thinking that they might lose everything if Jesus is let go. This one that is healing everybody, saving everybody, raising people from the dead, is a threat to them. They're afraid that the Romans will come and take their nation away from them. And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say of his own authority, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on they plotted to put him to death. Therefore Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. That is the end of chapter 11. And God willing, we'll be back here next week and go into chapter 12. But we see here the glory of God. We see that's what He wants in us. He wants the glory of God in us. And so, in you and me, my name is Dr. Don Callan. I'm coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation. I also represent Global Redeeming Ministries. Global Redeeming Ministries. Dr. Don Kellen, my address is P.O. Box 90, and it is Parker, Washington, 98939. P.O. Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. And I want to tell you once more, just before we sign off and we pray for you, is that I am offering a couple books. I've offered free books in the past, but these I'm charging for these. If you want something really encouraging, building up, one of them's called The Power of Positive Desire, and by T.L. Osborne. The other one is also by T.L. Osborne, The Good Life. The Good Life is excellent. If you want to study the Bible in a very positive manner, and to help you along, that would, as you study the Word, both of these are about 300 pages, but they are not small print. They're fairly large print, and so they're easy reading. They're very concise, and they're just power-packed. One of them, The Power of Positive Desire, The Power of Positive Desire, and the other is The Good Life. The Good Life is the one that is really it's like a miniature Bible school. If you want to get a view of the Bible in a good, positive manner, order that. The other one it's from the Bible's view, as far as a very positive way, as far as your life, changing our lives to in a positive manner. There's lots of self-help positive books out there, but this is more powerful. This is better because the Word of God is in this, and it gives it to you in the proper perspective. The other is man's perspective, or man's perspective just, or calling on a higher power. But this is this really truly from God, and it would be great for you. And once again, the address is P.O. Box 90. That's Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. That's Dr. Don Cowan. Or you could send it to Global, like the whole world, Global, Redeeming. That's the power of God, Redeeming. And it's ministries. And so I hope you take advantage of one or both of these books. As I said, including shipping, it's $15 per book, or both of them together for $25. And I'd be happy to send them out to you. And I'm sure it'd help revolutionize your life and be a tremendous blessing to you. I love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, we come and we pray for all these wonderful people, fantastic people. They're listening to BBS Late Night Radio right now. And we come to you in Jesus' name for them. And we say that whatever their problems in their bodies or in their minds or whatever it is, we just speak the Holy Spirit. We loose the Holy Spirit in there for those demonic spirits, if there is any, or oppressive. Quite often, most people are never possessed by Satan, but they might be oppressed. There might be, as far as oppressive spirits that will come to anybody, whether they're a Christian or a non-Christian, and try to tear them down. We just come against you in Jesus' name and plead the blood of Jesus, the power of the Word of God over you in Jesus' name. And Satan, you take your hands off of them. We loose the power of God in their minds to draw them ever closer to God, to draw them to Jesus, to draw them by the Holy Spirit into a saving, powerful knowledge of God. Bless them. Bless their finances. Bless their bodies. Bless their relationships. May the power of God flow in their lives. May their lives never be the same again, that they might be truly a new creation in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope to see you again next week at this time. And God bless you. Good night. And we love you. Bye-bye.